Now, thank you to Johnny for that introduction. Let me say two things. First of all, Johnny is a lot older than you think he is, for he can remember me when I was a wee boy. And secondly, in case you're worried by what he said about the bits of paper and so on, there won't be a collection at this meeting, so you don't need to worry about that either. You see, the gospel is free, and we don't preach the gospel to make friends. We don't preach the gospel to make converts to come and join a place and put money into it. That is not what the preaching of the gospel is about. The gospel is a message that is free, and it's a message that's for everyone. And the reason why we preach it is because we want to preach it. The gospel message means everything to the person who's been saved and had their sins forgiven. And it's a joy to preach it because our great hope is, if we're preaching it to someone who doesn't yet know the Lord Jesus and someone who hasn't had their sins forgiven, our great desire is that they might be saved by believing the message that we preach and come to know the Lord Jesus as we do, as Savior and Lord. We were able to sing about that. All the Christians sing it with feeling. It was for me, yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me, my Lord and King. And so we want to tell you about the one who died for sinners and offers salvation in the gospel tonight. We're going to read, first of all, in Luke's gospel, please, and chapter number 17. Luke's gospel, please, in chapter number 17. And we'll read at verse 11. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 11. And our verse refers to the Lord Jesus. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto them, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole, or thy faith hath saved thee." Into the next chapter, please, for our final reading, chapter 18, and verse number 31. Then he took unto him the 12, again that's the Lord Jesus being referred to, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished, for he shall be delivered up to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And we do look to God to bless the public reading of his holy inspired word to us tonight. I want to speak to you about this man referred to in Luke chapter 17. When the reading opens, he is one of 10 men who were lepers. Lepers standing afar off, and mind you, if you were a leper, that's just what you had to do. You had to stand afar off. You see, you had this contagious illness, and the word of God was quite clear. There was no space for the leper in amongst the houses and in the workplace and in the towns and the villages. To be a leper was to be an outcast. You were banished. And these 10 men, they're standing afar off. But notice this, they lift up their voices. And they shout across the distance and they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. We're going to think about this man. And we're going to think about his leprosy. He was one of 10. And as it goes down through this chapter, we find out all 10 were cleansed from their leprosy, from this terrible disease. But he, the man described in verse number 16 as a Samaritan, he comes back and he gives glory to God and he gives thanks to the Lord Jesus and he puts himself at the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this man, out of the 10, these words are spoken: thy faith has saved thee. Thy faith has saved thee. I want us to think about this man in three ways. We want to think of the problem that he had, and then we want to think about the person that he met, and then we want to think about the position that he took. And I want us to think of this dear man in the sense of an application for all of us tonight. As far as I'm aware, there's not one of us that has a problem of leprosy. There's not one of us that needs cleansed of this awful disease that would separate men from their near ones and their dear ones and make them outcasts. But each and every one of us have a problem much more serious, and it needs to be cleansed too. It's the problem of sin. And sin doesn't make us an outcast from our fellow men because, well, if you want to enjoy sin, you'll always find plenty of company to enjoy it with you. But sin makes us an outcast as far as God is concerned. And sin, just like leprosy, sin needs to be cleansed. It needs to be taken away. And you and I, as we think of this dear man getting to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I need to understand this. If as a sinner who needs cleansed, I am ever going to be right with God, if I'm ever going to be in heaven, if I'm ever going to have my sins forgiven, I need to get to Christ. And like this dear man, I need to get to the very feet of the only one who can save me and make me fit for heaven. So we want to think about this man. We want to think about the problem that he had and the person that he met and the position that he took. The Lord Jesus Christ is passing through a village. It's not even named. Now, it took me a while to find Kenaway this evening. Johnny says, you know, it's just straight up the road and it's easy to find. But, you know, when you come into Fife, it's like the dark side of the moon. If you come from the western side of the country, everything's strange and unfamiliar. But at least I know the name of Kenaway. You know, this village isn't even named, a certain village, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ went there. I think that's wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ went to this village, and it doesn't even rate being named in the Word of God, but the Lord Jesus Christ went there. What does that tell me? Well, I tell you, this wonderful Savior that we preach, he wasn't just interested in going to the famous places or speaking to the big people and the important people. Here is someone we're going to read about. And at the cry of 10 poor lepers, he stops what he's doing in order to help them. What a wonderful Savior we have. How loving, how compassionate, how kind. He's interested in everyone. He's interested in the people that no one else is interested in. He's interested in the cry of 10 poor lepers. And let me tell you, to be a leper, it was the very worst thing you could imagine. You see, perhaps this man we're going to think about, this one Samaritan, perhaps one day he'd been going about his business. Perhaps he'd been in the home. Perhaps he'd been at his work. And suddenly he realized that there was something there on his skin. And he went to the priest, as the Bible said, and he went and he had it diagnosed and he was told it was leprosy. You know, to be told that you had leprosy, it was the end of your life. Because from that moment onwards, you couldn't go back to your home. And you couldn't go back to your workplace. And you couldn't stay in the village where you lived. You see, to be a leper was to be an outcast. And it was to live under a death sentence. And here are 10 men. And I think this is interesting. 9 of them were Jews. And one man was a Samaritan, the man we're going to think about tonight. And there they are together, 10 lepers together. First thing I want you to remember about leprosy is this: it makes you an outcast. The second thing I want you to remember about leprosy is this: it puts you under a death sentence. And the third thing I want you to remember about leprosy is this: it levels the ranks. Every leper is the same as every other leper. You see, there's Jews and there's Samaritans, but together they're just 10 lepers. And what they did in their old life and who they were and where they lived, it did not matter. Leprosy leveled it all. They were all just the same. 10 lepers who couldn't work, who couldn't be with their loved ones, who couldn't help themselves, and living under the sentence of death. You see, the Word of God says concerning you and I that we have a problem called sin. Sin is a problem that runs through the human race. Every generation has the problem of sin because it came from the generation before. And in fact, if you go right back to the very first man who lived, Adam, you'll find the very origin of sin. Sin came into the world because of disobedience towards God. And that really is what sin is. And it's been running in the veins of men through every generation since that first man. The great problem of sin, that which is within us that causes us to take our own path and to turn our back upon God and to do our own thing in rebellion against God. And sin is all the way through the human race. And you and I understand from the Word of God, there isn't a place that we could go to and there isn't a person that we could meet, but they have the problem of sin. And mind you, what does the Word of God say? Romans chapter 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. There are none that understand. There are none that seek after God. And further down the chapter in Romans chapter 3, it says this, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And leprosy, contagious, a disease that spread, a disease that had such a terrible effect on the life of the leper, I want to tell you, it pales into insignificance when we think about the problem of sin. You see, sin is more serious than leprosy ever was. Because if leprosy meant separation from my friends and from my family, sin means separation from God. God is holy. God hates sin. God cannot have sin in his presence. And God, as a righteous judge, says the Bible, he has to punish sin. And so as God looks down from heaven, as he sees all mankind before him in their sin, God must act in judgment upon sin. He must deal with it. And sin means that we are deserving of God's judgment. And ultimately, that if we were to die, we would be separated from God forever because we could never be in heaven with him. Sin is a serious matter. It makes us outcasts as far as God is concerned. It makes us at a distance from God. But I want you to notice this. Sin levels the ranks. You see, there's no one leper who could say that he was in a better position than another leper. To use the expression we use, they were all in the same boat. And as far as you and I are concerned as sinners, you might find certain sinners who attend a church. You might find certain sinners who are kind and give to charity and bake things for their neighbours and hand them in and so on. But the fact is this, it doesn't matter if as a sinner you are kind and you're gentle and you're good to others. It doesn't matter whether as a sinner you're moving amongst the very dregs of society. It doesn't matter where you are on the scale. The point is this, we're all sinners in the sight of God. And it's not our opinion of ourselves that matters. And it's not what our friends think of us that matters. It's what God thinks of us that matters. And God has said there is no difference. No difference between this person and that person. No difference between anyone on this side of the hall from anyone on the other side of the hall. There is no difference, says God. All have sinned. And some walk on the clean side of the street and some walk in the gutter. But we're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. A God who hates sin. A God who must punish sin. And so 10 lepers, they're standing afar off. They can't draw near. They're not allowed to. But do you notice this? They cry for mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, if as a sinner, I'm ever going to have my sin cleansed, if I'm ever going to be able to draw near to God, I have to realize this. I can never get near to God my own way. And I can never get near to God by doing something to help myself. What could these poor men do? Absolutely nothing. The only thing they could do was to cry for help. They cried for mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And that's how sinners get cleansed. That's how sinners get saved. By receiving mercy, by crying to the only one who can help. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know, I was 8 years of age when God took me in. I hadn't done a lot of living, I hadn't done a lot of sinning, although if you listen to Johnny, perhaps I'd been guilty of some extortion or selling things at an inflated price. I don't know quite what I was being accused of, but the point was, as a boy of eight, you've not done that much that's wrong, and you've not done so much that would offend people, but the point was this, At 8 years of age, I was able to listen to what the Word of God said. And I knew that when the Word of God said all have sinned, I knew that meant me as well. And when the Word of God explained that as a sinner I could never be in heaven, I knew that I was the sinner who could never be in heaven. But when the Word of God told me, and I listened in the Sunday school, and I listened in the gospel meeting, and I was told about how the Lord Jesus Christ died upon the cross for sinners, I realized that when he died for me. Oh, I was the sinner that deserved to be punished, and I was the sinner who deserved never to be in heaven, but be in hell. But praise God, I realized I was the sinner for whom the Lord Jesus died. And I could be saved just by trusting the Lord Jesus as my Savior, by turning from that sin. And seeing it all from God's sight, that I was just a sinner, but that because the Lord Jesus died, I could be saved. And as a boy of 8, I cried for mercy. I didn't say, now God, when I'm older, I'm going to do this and that. I didn't say, you know, God, when I get the chance, I'm going to be nicer, I'm going to try harder. I simply said, as a sinner, I need to be saved. And I didn't say anything of the kind to God. Because what God is doing when he saves a soul is he's saving someone in spite of what they are. And saving someone because they can never deserve it and because they can never earn it. What do these lepers do? They simply cry for mercy. They're helpless and hopeless, but they cry to the person, the one person who can help. Let's think about that one person. We thought quickly about the problem this man had. What about the person that he met? Well, we read about him in the next chapter, didn't we? This person who was passing through this unnamed village, he wasn't just some ordinary person. Here was the Son of God. And he is now going up to Jerusalem to die upon the cross. And he's explaining to his disciples, now, even before I was born, it was all written about me, how that I would come into the world, and how that I would suffer, and men would spit on me, and how men would put a scourge across my back, and how men would nail me to a tree. He says it's all going to happen when we go up to Jerusalem. You see, this man who was passing through the village that day, he knew all about why he'd come into the world, and he knew all about what was just about to happen when he got up to Jerusalem. You see, this was the very reason why he came. He came to die. He came to be raised from the dead, that he might destroy death, says the Lord Jesus. I'm going up to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be scourged, and I'm going to be put to death, and on the third day I'm going to rise again, says the Lord Jesus. All these things that have been written about me, they're going to happen. I'm going to do them all. You know, if you and I looked at John chapter 19, we'd read these words concerning the Lord Jesus. As he was hanging there upon the cross, after 3 hours of darkness, when the men who had nailed him to the cross couldn't even see their own hands in front of their faces, never mind look upon the one on the center cross, after those 3 hours of darkness, after all the scriptures had been fulfilled, after all that he had came to experience and suffer had now been accomplished, he said these words, "It is finished." And the Lord Jesus Christ had done and suffered and endured everything that God had asked him to. And in that moment, he bowed his head and he dismissed his spirit, and the Savior of the world went down into death, not to die as an end in itself, but he went down into death to destroy death and to rise again from the dead on the third day. This was the man who was passing through this certain village that day. The man that God has sent, his own son, on his way to the cross of Calvary, there to fulfill everything that God had promised. But let us think about this. This man who's going up to Jerusalem to suffer, and he's going to fulfill all that the Word of God had said about him. Why was he going to suffer? Why had the Word of God said that he would experience these things? For this very simple reason. The Word of God didn't only promise that he would suffer. The Word of God promised that he would be a Savior. And without the suffering, without the shame, without all that happened there at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't be your Savior, and he couldn't be my Savior. There at the cross, he paid that great price for sin. He paid that great price and shed his precious blood so that your sins and mine might be cleansed. And every lie we've ever told, and every thought we've ever had that we've been ashamed of, and everything we've ever taken that wasn't ours, and all the debt of your life and mine, that it might all be cleansed and washed away and that you and I might be fit for God, that you and I might not be banished by a holy God, but allowed into heaven. But the only way for that to happen would be for him to go and to suffer upon the cross. That's why we've sung about the cross tonight. That's why we can say it was for me, because I know for a certainty I'm going to be in heaven. I am as sure of being in heaven as if I was already there, because I know for a certainty it's not about me and my ability to somehow earn my way there. I know that there upon the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price forever, and he rose from the dead to be my Savior. And the reason I know for a certainty I'll be in heaven is because the Lord Jesus died for me, and he rose again from the dead for me, and he's in heaven, and he's coming again to take me to be with him where he is. That's why I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Nothing to do with me, nothing to do with some religion I've signed up to, nothing to do with prayers that I've said, but simply as a boy of 8, I was able to rest and rest forever in the fact that the Lord Jesus died for me, and my debt is paid and my sins are cleansed, all because of the Lord Jesus and the work that he has done. And so this man, he had this problem of leprosy, helpless, living under a death sentence, and indeed it was only a matter of time. You see, the truth is this. If the Lord Jesus had never come through this village that day, that man would have been dead within a matter of a few months, or possibly at the most, a few years. The Word of God says this in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, concerning the nation of Israel in their sin and in their disobedience. God looks down from heaven and he sees all their wickedness and he sees all the things they're doing that are sinful. And God says this, their feet shall slide in due time. God says it's only a matter of time. You and I have heard that expression, haven't we, the slippery slope? We've heard people talking about that. And somebody's behaving in a foolish way, and we say, well, that's them on the slippery slope. It's only a matter of time before it all ends in disaster. You know, the chilling thing is this. God from heaven says about the sinner, their feet shall slip in due time. It's only a matter of time. And so you and I need to think about that. For this leper, it would only have been a matter of time, but a tremendous opportunity came to him. The Son of God passed through this village and he cries for mercy. And the Lord Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they went away, they were cleansed. Why did the Lord Jesus tell them to go to the priests? Well, if you read in Leviticus and chapter number 13, you'll find this. If you got leprosy, it was the priest that told you you had it. And if you thought you'd been cured of the leprosy, then you had to go back to the priest because he was the only one who could give you a clean bill of health. So that's why the Lord Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. That must have been interesting. I doubt they'd ever seen someone that had been healed from leprosy before. And I'm sure they were a bit surprised as they looked at Leviticus chapter 13 and said, well, yes, this man's leprosy's gone. And so says the Lord Jesus, go show yourself to the priest. And as these 10 men are walking away, as they went, they were cleansed. And they must have all noticed. And for 9 of these men, it was enough just to go back to the priest and then just go back to their old life. I assume as they were walking back to see the priest, they must have been thinking, that's great, I'll get to see my family again. Or maybe they were thinking about getting back to their work. Well, that seems a bit unlikely, doesn't it? But anyway, they were thinking about getting back to where they were. And you know, no doubt they were thinking about rebuilding their old life again. But there was one man who was different. And the important thing for him wasn't about the old life that he used to live. And it wasn't about going back to see the people he used to love. The important thing for him was to get back and to give thanks to Christ for what had been done to him. And I think that's lovely. This one man out of the 10, he goes back. And you'll notice the position he took. He glorified God with a loud voice, and he fell down on his face at the feet of the Lord Jesus, giving him thanks. You know, there's something beautiful about that. Something lovely. You see, some people think about the gospel message that it's an insurance policy of some kind. Well, I'll just believe that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and I'll believe that, you know, because of that, my sins could be forgiven, and well, I'll put that away, and when I'm about to die, I'll take that out again, and I'll see, and hopefully that will give me the comfort I need. And what they're looking for is a ticket to heaven, an insurance policy to tuck away in case they need it. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is about coming to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the sinner who's cleansed and the sinner who knows what it is to have their sins forgiven, I want to tell you that sinner loves the Lord Jesus and wants to serve him and wants to worship him. Out of a full heart of gratitude, this man kneels at the very feet of the Lord Jesus to give him thanks. And I tell you, the gospel message, it's not an insurance policy and it's not a ticket to heaven. It's a message which tells you about a Saviour. And you need to get to know him, and salvation is just the first step. And getting saved at the feet of the Lord Jesus and having your sins cleansed, that's just the beginning. And this man, he gets to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord has to ask, well, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? You see, you and I could preach a message out in the world today, and we could tell people that everything was all right, and we could tell them they could just have their old life and just live the way they wanted, but we would be doing them no favours. You see, that appealed to the 9. They were happy to have their leprosy taken away and to go back to their old life. But I want to tell you, salvation isn't like that. Salvation is about recognising that our old life is what is taking us to hell, and that old life we've been living was a life without God, and we don't want it anymore. And here's a man. He doesn't go back to the old life. He gets to the feet of the Lord Jesus and he gives him thanks. That's what it is to be saved. Not an insurance policy, not a ticket to heaven, but a joy and a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, says the Lord, there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He says unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath saved thee. You see, that's all that's required for salvation, is just simply faith. This man had already demonstrated he'd had enough of that old life, and that wasn't the great attraction for him. He gets to the feet of Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ sees the faith that this man has. And he sees the man bowing down at his feet, and he says, thy faith hath saved thee. That's all it takes. You know, I'm glad that salvation doesn't depend on me working to earn it, because I'm not a very good worker. And I'm glad that salvation doesn't depend on me being a better person, because really I'm incapable of making myself better. But there is someone who can, someone who is able, someone who can save me, someone who can pick me up out of the pit and put me on a rock and establish the way that I'm going. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as a helpless sinner, I came to him as a boy of 8, and he saved me in that moment when simply I put my faith in him. John chapter 3, verse 16 was the verse that was read to me that night. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believed that night, and everlasting life became mine that night. And above all things, the Lord Jesus became mine that night. And he's still my Saviour now. And he'll be my Saviour at the moment when he comes to take me to be with him in heaven. And he'll be my Saviour for all eternity. He died for me, paid the great price, cleansed me from my sin. And if you simply come by faith and just accept him and receive him and understand that when he died on the cross, he died to put your sin away, I tell you, when you get to the feet of the Lord Jesus, you'll find blessing from him. And your faith will save you in that moment that you simply come to Christ and believe. Shall we pray?